Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Hi, welcome to the Gospel of Kinnison, episode 225, brought to you the week of December 7, 2024. I am your host, James Kinnison, and this is my personal audio journal. So I haven't talked to you since before Thanksgiving, so I hope you had a great one. Mine was pretty good. Had a great time. We went to North Carolina to a city about a half hour north of Charlotte. And we visited with my brother-in-law and my sister and her three kids. We took our two up there. And it was really fun. I was kind of concerned about Thanksgiving, being that I eat small meals. And Thanksgiving is notoriously, you know, a time where you're supposed to eat as much as humanly possible. I did well. The dinner itself, there was a lot of options. You know, you had your turkey and stuffing, and there's this pink stuff my wife makes that I talk about every year, and there's green bean casserole, and there's mashed potatoes, and there's cranberry sauce and all that. And what I found is I just took a spoon and a saucer, and I went around and I got me a scoop, you know, a spoonful of everything, mostly focusing on turkey. I got a pretty good sized bit of turkey. And I just ate. And when I was done, you know, I was satisfied. And that's always my biggest worry. And I still have fat guy eye, is what I call it, because I look at my portions and they look very unsatisfying. It's not what I'm used to eating. And you know how it is. You look at food and you're like, oh, I'm going to eat a ton of that. That looks so good. I'm going to go back for seconds for that. But that's not the way my world works anymore. And so when I look at my little plate, I'm like, I kind of feel sorry for myself. You know, how is this going to be satisfying? But I tell you, if you really slow down and savor the food and let it sit on your tongue, because you know how you chew on one side? I have started this habit of switching sides. And I know this is kind of gross talking about food in your mouth, but it passes over my tongue, right? And I taste it. And sometimes I'll just sit there and not chew and just enjoy the flavor. And it stays in my mouth longer than when I would woof it down. Because I'm gonna tell you, I used to eat, and the goal was just to get it down into my guts as fast as possible. And I have literally had to transform myself into someone that eats slower and ridiculously slow. And so I get little spoonfuls of each food, but I take little bites of every spoonful and I savor it. And so I do get full. And at the end, when I am full, I've had all these flavors. I've experienced them all. And I experienced them for probably longer than I would have had I woofed it down. And because I'm full and because I've had the variety, I end up very satisfied. And I was surprised. I didn't know how it was going to work for Thanksgiving. I did not know. But it worked out really well. So, I don't know. I know it's hard to relate to because I had surgery and all this kind of stuff. But I am in a place now where it would be very easy to eat more than I'm supposed to. I've learned a trick, And it's not something I'm going to start doing, but I could cheat and beat this thing very easily. And that would be by eating more meals a day. I eat three main meals, and then I have two little meals. I call them snacks, but, and all it takes is 30 minutes for that food to pass through my stomach. So if I wanted to, I could eat again and again and again and never make myself sick and get tons of extra calories and have a lot more food, and I could beat this weight loss thing and ruin it. But I'm not going to do that. But I'm not going to say I haven't had the thought. And I promised my wife, I said, if we spend this money and get this thing and I ruin it, I will pay the family back. And she's like, okay. And I'm like, okay. But I just stick with my meals and my plans. And I eat breakfast in the morning, which is during the week is the best time for me to categorize things because things are looser on the weekend. But you know, I go to work at 8. I leave the house at 7:30. So I'm eating about 7 a.m. Then I have a snack at 10 a.m. Then I have lunch at noon. And then at 3 to 3:30, I'll have another snack. And that mostly holds me over till dinner. Typically, I will have a protein shake or something, you know, have an apple. Because it's a long stretch for me between 3 o'clock and 6:30 for some reason. It requires a little more. And so I do eat, like I said, an apple, a rice cake, a tortilla with peanut butter on it, something with some fiber and protein. And I worry. And I'll skip getting on the scale because I'm worried. But then I get on the scale and I find out that I've lost more weight. The last time I talked to you, I was 186 pounds. Now I'm at 183. The lowest that I should be is 180. So if I get below that, I'm going to have to start making some major adjustments and I might have to start cheat eating, you know, or getting some more calories, which will be crazy, crazy time. So I don't know what you did for Thanksgiving. I hope you had a good time. Like I said, we travel. So we got on an airplane and we were at the airport. And I noticed this line as we were, you know, about to get checked. You know, they have this camera that looks at your face and decides if you're you and they compare it to your ID, I guess, and all this. But I noticed it was a special line for people in wheelchairs. And I just, first of all, I may want to comment that not everybody in them wheelchairs need to be in them wheelchairs. Some people come to the airport and they get in a wheelchair because they want the wheelchair treatment. They get pushed through security. They get to wait in a smaller line. They didn't come in a wheelchair. They drove there and they walked and then they made a call and they wanted to be in a wheelchair. And those people, you know, I hold a grudge against them every year every time I go to an airport, I see them and, I'm just like, that's just so ridiculous. So ridiculous. But then I'm like, you know what? Let them have their fun. Who cares? It's like one or two people that I'll see every time. And it's always the same type of person, just some lady with a big old purse. And I'm like, if you can carry around that big old purse, you could walk. But anyway, I noticed this line of people and they were, you know, supposedly disabled. Most of them were, and they're in their own line. So we get up to the guy and he looks at my eyeballs and he looks at my ID and, you know, checks everything. And then this lady motions us over to line 2. She's like, go over to line two. So we get over in line two, and it happens to be the same line that is feeding, that the wheelchairs are feeding into. Okay. So if you've ever been to a theme park and you've been to the line, the special line that you don't have to wait in line for, you know, the fast pass line or whatever, what they'll do is you won't always get in first. Sometimes they let a group through, and then they'll let a few of the special people through, and then they'll let another group of, you know, and that way you're still waiting a little bit, but you're waiting minutes instead of, you know, 10, 15, 20, half hour, 30, you know, whatever. So that's obviously what they were doing here. So they let my family go, but this lady in line pushing her husband, who I, again, did belong in a wheelchair, starts crapping out loud. Hey, what's going on here? And she's, I didn't even notice her really. I kind of heard her and I'm like, I'm going to ignore her. We're from the city. We hear people do this all the time. And the best thing to do is not get involved in their drama because it is their drama. But I hear my wife say, she told us to come over here. And the lady starts in on her. Well, where? And I said, lady, just calm. Everybody just calm down. That's what I said. And I looked her square in the face. And then I go about my business, taking off shoes and feel like I'm getting partially undressed to get through this stupid scanner. And she says, don't tell me to calm down. And man, my dander got up. I got irritated. And I looked at her and I said, ma'am, I already did. I said, yes, I already did. And Jen was like, James, stop. And I did stop. I did. And so we got through the line and she got through the line. And that was my whole point. That's what was going on in my mind. The unsaid part was we all need to calm down because we're all going to get on our plane. We're all going to make it through this bump in the road and we will make it to our destinations today. So just calm down. And my other purpose was I wanted to take the attention off my wife because you don't yell at her. I don't care who you are. I don't care how disabled your husband is. You don't get to be rude to Jen. So I felt a little ashamed by the time I got done with everything, but they held Jen's bag and there was a potential, as I saw this lady move through the line, that we were going to meet again. So I didn't shy away. I stood there and I'm like, she's going to say something. She's going to say something when she walks by. She's going to say something. So I started preparing my comebacks because I'm a terrible person. I do not have the love of Jesus flowing through my veins all the time. And I don't even remember what my solutions were, but I had one for everything. Like, you're so rude. And I'm like, oh, and it's not rude to yell at my wife, you know? But the big one I remember was like, see, we all got through, didn't we? You know, that's pretty much what I was going to say to whatever she said is, see, we all got through, didn't we? You know, you were rude, but we all got through, didn't we? You know, I can't believe you told me that. Yeah, but we all got through, didn't we? So it was a good, you know, I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid to stand my ground, even when we're face to face kind of thing. But she got her stuff together and she walked right past me and didn't even make eye contact. So I don't know. In my own way, I felt like a winner. James, you're pretty sad. But she was so rude. She was being a Karen and I didn't like it. I didn't like it when she yelled at my wife. So I had to defend her. So, the husband didn't look at me either. So I guess they were just, you know, she was just having a bad day, I'm sure, whatever. But, okay. So whenever we go to my brother-in-law's house, he's very active. He's a very active young man and he'll have inline skates one year and that's what he's doing. he'll have a go-kart the next year, and that's what everybody's doing, but I couldn't fit in it, so I didn't get to ride. And he's picked up pickleball last year, and they all went and played pickleball. I don't play because I was too big, and, you know, it just wasn't fun for me. So I said, you know what? I've lost all this weight, dadgummit. Whatever they do, I'm going to go and do it. And this year was mountain biking. I've never done mountain biking. And it was, I had already committed to it before I even knew that's what we were going to do. So I was like, okay, let's do this. And I got all suited up. I didn't have the right pants. He had some pants for me to wear. I didn't have gear. Apparently you need knee pads and shin guards and, gloves and elbow pads and a helmet. And glasses, these special glasses that aren't sunglasses that keep the brush and leaves from the trees from slapping you in the eyeballs. And I put it all on. And I was very nervous. I was scared. I'm like, I'm scared of getting hurt. I'm not scared of the work that it's going to be. I'm not scared of this, you know, that kind of thing. I'm literally scared I'm going to get hurt. But my sister told me that she did it. She tried it and she fell over the handlebars twice and all she got was a little bit bruised. So I was like, okay, well, I've ridden a bike before, but I didn't realize how testing this was going to be. So we get out there. It was a whole process because he had to load up all the bikes and we had to get all geared up. And then we had to drive there and then we had to get used to the bikes. I hadn't been on a bike in a while. So we rode around the parking lot a little bit and I was scared. I was scared of the bike coming out from under me because there was a lot of pine straw. And I don't know if you know about pine straw, but it is slick. You can take pine straw like we did when I was a kid, put it on the side of a ditch or a hill or something and slide down it on cardboard. I mean, it is slick. And there was a lot of pine straw. And I was like, if I lean into a turn or if I lean into this clay, because there was some muddy spots, the bike is going to come out from under me. Now, later I found out, no, I have these special tires on them and they have grips on the side. So you could do it all. And I'm okay. Well, it's okay. But I did okay. I was afraid I was going to get hurt, but we got all geared up. We got down there and we got to the trail and I got on there and started riding and I started getting a little bit brave, you know? It was all right. It was good. And it was a good bike. It was a better bike than I deserved. It had this hydraulic seat that you could smush down or lift up. And I was like, what's that for? And he said, this is for when you need to sit on it. You ramp it up. But then when you need to stand and ride, you sometimes have to lean backwards. He was real big about this. When you're going downhill, you have to lean back. And so the seat needs to be out of the way. And when you're going up, you need to lean way over the handlebars. Otherwise, you'll fall back or forward. And I was listening because I didn't want to do either one of those things. So we start going and there's roots in the way. But he's like, don't worry about it. They're big fat tires. They'll roll right over them. And I said, yeah. And I remember when I was a kid, I could pull on the handlebars and the front of the bike would come up and I could go up a small incline, like a curb or something. He's like, yeah, but you'll be surprised. You don't have to do that much because of the tires. And I'm like, okay, great. So I get on there and, you know, do a few bumps and stuff and it's good. It's good. It's not that hilly. But then all of a sudden there's a hill going down and at the bottom of that hill is a daggum wood planked bridge over a gulch. It's not a big gulch, all right? But it is 3 feet down, okay? And it looks like a very small bridge. Maybe the width of a normal-sized sidewalk. But from the top of a hill, going around a corner, hit that bridge, not fall, and then there's a hill behind it. And he's trying to lead me through it. And he's like, what you're going to want to do is come down. You're going to want to lean backwards. Then you're going to want to be normal and go over this. And he said, and don't look down at your tire or you fall off. If you look where you're going, where you want to be, you'll automatically line up and you'll be fine. And he said, and then you're going to want to lean forward and you're going to downshift and you're going to pedal really hard. So I got all that in my brain. Wasn't overwhelmed at all. And I go down And I made it across that daggum planked bridge. And I thought I was going to die. But then I forgot everything. And I started trying to pump. But my gear ratio was wrong. And I wasn't going fast enough. And I found out a secret about mountain biking. Is going uphill is the hardest part. Because when you go slow, or when you go fast, like downhill, it's easy to control things. But when you start going slow, I mean, imagine when you stop at a red light, if you didn't put your feet down, you would fall over, right? So imagine trying to go slow up a hill. Well, I fell. I fell over the back of the bike. And the bike, I just dropped it. I'm like, I don't care about the bike. I want to save my life. And I grabbed a tree and I caught myself. And my brother-in-law was like, good catch, good save. And I'm like, dude, if I hadn't had these gloves on, my arm, my hand would be scraped all up. So I was very much a believer of how stupid I looked in all these pads. All right. So the only other thing that was of note is that I hit another hill. I wasn't going fast enough and I fell hard, and I fell on my knees into some branches, in some logs. I guess that's what they're called when they're on the ground. They're no longer trees or branches. They're logs. They were about 3-inch diameter, maybe 4, and it went right into my knee. And afterwards, it was a bruise and it was rubbed. I still feel it. I still have it. It's what do they call it? Not rug burn. But yeah, I mean, road rash, I guess they call it. A little bit on my shin, a little bit on my knee. But I hit pretty hard, harder than I thought. And everybody's like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Because that's what you say when you're 51 and you do something stupid. And I said, but I'm just going to sit here being fine for a little while. So I sat with my knees over the branches in the logs that I had fallen into. And I just sat there for a while and kind of caught my breath. And I said, you know what, guys, I think I'm done. I think I'm going to head back to the car because, you know, I was out of breath, you know, and it was working a whole new set of muscles that walking just don't work. And he says something that changed that day forever. He said, well, we're about half an hour into it at this point, and this is the midpoint. So it's a half hour to go back or a half hour to finish. I was like, dadgummit, I knew you were going to say that. And so I finished, but I was driven because I wanted to be done. So I went ahead of everybody. I left my wife, I left my nephew, and I left my brother-in-law in the dust. And I went as fast as I could, uphill, roundhill. There were two more bridges. One was very thin. I just looked ahead in the distance and I went over them thinking I was going to die both times. I didn't do it. I thought I was going to run. There was a part that there was a creek next to, and I could feel the creek trying to pull me in because it was down like about 4 feet sloped from the path. And I could just feel it. I don't know if you're afraid of heights, I think you feel it pull you. And I didn't do it. I just kept looking ahead. Because every time I would look down at my tire, man, felt like I was going to go off the edge. And then there was a stinking chain link fence that wanted to grab my handlebars and make me turn into the fence. But I kept going and kept going. And then the last challenge after I made it off the trail was getting up the parking lot to the car. That was the hardest part because it was just this straight hill. And so I downshifted, I leaned forward, and I pushed and pushed and pushed, and I made it all the way to the car, and I checked my heart level, you know, my heart rate on my phone or on my watch, and it was at 187 or something like that. And I felt like I was gonna die. And so I told my wife and my brother-in-law when they came up, and they said, oh, that's not good. You need to walk or you're going to pass out. You need to drink this. And they gave me Gatorade and they took care of me because I'd never done anything strenuous in my life, you know? And they're like, yeah, you need to walk around at least till it's like down to 140 or something. Cause you're like way up there. And it took a long time for my heart rate to come down, but I felt lightheaded, but I was so proud, you know, I had done it. I did something I'd never done before. I never would have gone had I been full weight. And I never would have finished for darn sure. And so even though it was a challenge, I was a little upset that it was a challenge, honestly. I thought, you know, this will be easy because I'm thin. No, I don't bike. I don't work those muscles. I'd never done it before. And it was a challenge. And I completed it. That was the whole thing, is I did it. And I was so excited about that. So much better story than the last one about the lady. So yeah, it was funny though, because we were coming home and I had gone ahead, right? Because Jennifer and the nephew were slower. And so even though my brother-in-law is super fast and super good at it and takes these jumps and, you know, he was going with them, but I was driven. I wanted to get done and get through, but they didn't know. They didn't know if I was doing okay or not. And so my nephew said, I kept looking for a body. So every ditch, every creek, every bridge he crossed, he was looking for a body. Just thought that was hilarious. Just sees Uncle James lying unconscious in the leaves. So it was good. That's good stuff. So at work, I've been making videos. I think the last time I talked to y'all, I had made one video. I have now made a total of 4 videos, and one of them was pretty long. I want to say 5.5-6 minutes. And when I say long, it took a long time to video because it's a promo video for our Learn How to Screen Print course that we do once a month at work. And so I went down there and I met the 2 ladies that were taking the class, and they seemed really cool. And I said, would it be okay for me to videotape you guys as you go through the class and just pop in occasionally, film a little bit, ask you some questions, you know, and then get your reply and response and feedback at the end. And they said, absolutely. And so I did. I would ask the boss, when's the next major thing that you guys are doing? And he would tell me, and I would come back. I would set an alarm on my watch. I'd come back and I'd film a little bit of it. And I won't go through all the details, but it turned out to be a great little video. And maybe I will post a link what's it called? Patreon for our supporting listeners. I try to keep my private life private, but eventually somebody's going to realize that I work at, I've already mentioned that I work at a screen and digital, production, supply company. And somebody's eventually going to say, you know what? All I got to do is go and get on Google Maps and look for a place that sells screen printing supplies and digital supplies. And there's probably not more than one of them. And somebody's going to figure out where I work. And then I just don't want to broadcast it, because I think I've told you in the past that somebody found out where I worked when I worked at Sheffield in Kansas City, and they called the pastor and said some terrible things. And so I, it's not that I don't love and trust you guys. I just, you know, what would you do if you were in my shoes? Would you broadcast every little detail, like your address and your personal phone number and stuff like that? So I try to keep the circle pretty small of people that know a lot. So don't get offended if I say I'm going to put something on Patreon. So just don't get upset. Just Google it. If you want to see my videos, just Google keywords that I mentioned in the podcast, and I'm sure you'll find them. But anyway, so the video went really well and it was fun and funny, and I shot it in a selfie format. So I don't know. It was original and it was unique. And by the way, the video I talked about last time is continuing to sell these products, this sticky gel stuff that is going down. I was in shipping the other day and I saw like 5 boxes of it stacked up. The boss walked by. He says, you know, we're still getting orders for that video. He says, I really love it. And I know I got kind of bent out of shape there a little bit about, well, is he going to pay me? You know, and he may not. He's pretty tight with the money. And I don't even know that he's made his promise to up my pay after 3 months, because we're at that point yet. I'm trying to get pay stubs, and HR is being really slow on it. So I just want to check, and I will ask him about that. But here's the deal, and here's what I came to. I think last time I mentioned that I would just leave it up to Jesus, okay? That was a real spiritual answer. But what I realized is, since I let go and quit caring about pay, is I enjoy making videos so much. You guys don't understand. It is so fun. I get to act in them. So it's kind of like the podcast pastoring stuff that I used to do on the stage. I get to edit them, which is a lot of fun. And I get to create them, you know, in advance. I get to do all the prep. And so it's like putting together a podcast, except it's video. And they do very well. I mean, they're not doing millions, or even, you know, they're doing 100, 120, 160 views per video. But for the niche that we're in, you know, which is just the screen printing stuff, I think that's pretty good. And they send them out to our mailing list, and people listen to them and watch them and stuff. So, and they sell products. So I've done one, like I said, on the gel adhesive alternative stuff. I did one that was promoting our screen printing class, and that was the longest one I did. And then I did one where I brought in some of my old podcasting equipment, and I used an old podcasting webcam, and I put all this stuff together, and I made a video on how to turn AI artwork into UVDTF ready art. Okay, so you don't need to know all the details, but I made this video, and I did everything for free. I had all the old equipment. I brought it in. Everybody was really impressed with it. I made a screen capture happen with this OBS software that's free, and I was able to take another video source and put myself down in the bottom right-hand corner so that people could know who was talking to them. And I made the whole video, and it edited it down, and it was fun. It was great. It wasn't funny, you know, it not a lot of personality in that one. It was just a tutorial, so I just didn't feel the need. But then I did one on tape dispensers. And tape dispensers have got to be the least exciting thing that you can promote via video. And so I actually prepped for this one. I was like, we're going to have fun with it. And so so I started the whole thing off. I'm like, hi, I'm James. I'm representing blah, blah, blah. And today I'm here to talk to you about tape dispensers. That's right, tape dispensers. I drew the short straw, and then the intro plays. And then we start talking about tape dispensers. And I pointed out all the details of the tape dispensers. I even compared one of them to a DeLorean, because it was made out of stainless steel. And that was really the only thing it had in common with a DeLorean. But I said, this is the DeLorean of tape dispensers. And I do not come across as a salesman, because I'm not trying to sell anybody on anything. I'm trying to tell a story. I'm trying to make them laugh. And my theory is that if they laugh, if they enjoy it, when they need this product, they will come to us to buy it. So it's not pushy. It's not, you know, typical, like creating a need. You know, a lot of times in commercials, they try to illustrate that you need this, and this is the product that's going to fulfill that specific need. I mean, you think about your paper towel commercials, and the leading brand leaves stuff behind, but the winning brand doesn't leave anything on the counter. You know, they create this obvious, this is the brand that's going to do what you need it to do. So when you need it, you know, you need it now. First of all, you need it the next time you go. I don't see it that way. It's like I learned it in children's ministry, that your experience is as important, if not more important, than the information. And I learned that from children's ministry. It's like, we all know Noah. We know the story of Noah. We know the story of Jonah. We know the story of Joseph in the coat of many colors. We know the nativity story, but not one of us could probably go back and say which teacher taught us that, because we heard it a dozen times. And it was, it, you know, if you went to church regularly, you heard it here and there. And you might remember one day when somebody told you the story and it kind of stuck and you thought about it from a different perspective. And that's great and all that. But I'll tell you what you do remember is you remember what it felt like to be in those Sunday school classes. You remember if the teacher was mean or not. You might not remember what she looked like, but you might remember the time she made you pray or the time that she called you out and told your parents. You remember your experience and the way church makes you feel. And I apply that whole idea to when I do my commercials, because I guess that's what they secretly are. Because I got complimented the other day by a lady. She's like, "You do good commercials." And I'm like, it was kind of weird to hear it that way, because I don't think of them as commercials. I think of them as, I don't know, ways to reach out to a new audience. I guess I want them, I primarily focus on the entertainment value, because I think the feeling people get from watching my video, if they laugh, if they enjoy it, if they feel the realness that I'm putting out, I think they're more apt to trust my company. Because honestly, I try to represent what our company is really like, and it's mostly a warehouse. And it's mostly dusty, and it's mostly people working, and there's mostly stock everywhere. So when I shot my video, I didn't go into the showroom. I found a very well-lit table that the shipping department uses to do a lot of their work where they need a lot of light. And it was perfect. And I asked them for permission. How long is it going to take? I said, not more than a half hour. They said, yes, you can come between this time and this time. And they cleared the space and we used it and we got the heck out of there. And in the background is people working and people moving items around, and there's shelves of stuff. And that's what we are, you know? And you go to other places and other websites, some of our competitors, and they just have these glossy, shiny web 3.0 websites. And I see sometimes that one of my bosses kind of gets jealous. Is that what we're supposed to be? Because they're pulling in the young crowd and all this. And I'm like, we could be that. We could be that. We could front. We could put anything on the website. We can make it look like anything you want it to look like. But is that who we are? Is that what we are? And it's not. And I don't think there's anything wrong in the world with being who we are. We're a company that started in the late 1940s. They've been around for over 75 years. Most of the people that have worked there for 25 plus years. And they know their craft and they know the people and the people know them. And print shops are usually not pristine, clean places. There's usually a showroom where they have their shirts and stuff out. But you go behind the scenes, there's ink everywhere. It's on the floor. There's dust on stuff. There's, you know, all this, you're reclaiming screens. So there's a big dirty sink and a spray hose and all this kind of stuff. There's screens everywhere and different versions of being either reclaimed or saved for next year or whatever. It's a craft, you know? And even if you're just a crafter yourself and you make and knit things, you know that crafting makes dust. It makes messes. It, you know, you get glue everywhere or glitter everywhere. And when you're making materials, because we not only ship materials, we manufacture equipment and stuff, it makes a mess. And I think it's amazing. I think our building is absolutely amazing inside. And so when I made the video about the screen printing class, when I did voiceovers, I walked in and around where they were manufacturing products. Now, I had to do it when they were being quiet, obviously, but I walked through the workshop, you know, and I don't think there's anything wrong in the world with us being who we are. And so that's the kind of the vibe that I put out on the podcast, or not the podcast, the on the videos, is we're just people like you working with our sweat and tears to make products so that you can work with your sweat and tears to put out art, you know, t-shirts and stuff. So I don't know. Just I'm loving making videos at work.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
And I don't know if I mentioned this, but I pray. I'm a guy that prays. And I pray every day, 5 days a week, 5 days a week. Although I did pray today. I went for a walk and I said, you know what, let's do some prayers. So I did that. But I pray, and one of the things I pray for is I pray for favor. I pray for favor with my family, because that's not a given, especially when you got teenagers. It's not automatic. Not like when they were kids and they would just run to the door. Dad's home. Oh my gosh. Oh, it's the best. You know, your dogs will do that for you, but your kids stop, you know? So I pray for favor with my family, but I pray for favor, especially with others, people that I bump into, people at work, people that I see on the street. You know, I want to be a light in a dark world. This has become important to me. And I don't know why, because when I worked before for the hat company, I guess I just wasn't yet in a place where I felt mentally that I was able to reach out to anybody and that I had anything to give. And I definitely didn't have a purpose yet. And I think I'm in a better place mentally now, to where I'm generally happy most of the time. I am generally in a better mood. And I think spiritually, I'm at a place where I want to do the Great Commission. You know, I want to tell people about Jesus. I want to show them the light that has lit up my life. And so I pray for favor at work. And that seems to be occurring. I think one of the things God is using is the videos, because the videos seem to worm their way through the entire shop and people go out of their way to come up and comment. And it gives me a window to introduce myself and to be nice to folks. And because I'm an office worker, okay? I work in the office. I go to work and I don't get dirty, you know? And there are people there that do. And I think of them as better than me, okay? And I don't know that that's entirely common. But when I was in children's ministry, I know you've heard me say this before, the two people I took care of the best before my own volunteers was my sound people who served, and my maintenance and janitorial people, because they cleaned up after my crap. And you, what did I just say about crafting? when you're telling stories and playing games and doing object lessons, you make a mess, and your kids make a mess. And so what did I do before we went upstairs to our small groups? Man, I'd say, kids, reach down and pick up paper and dump it in the trash on your way out. And man, they appreciated that stuff, you know, because they small things like that made them know that I cared. And my sound guys, I never called them out from the front. When there was mistakes, I was patient. I was the one. And it's the same thing now. I don't walk around with my head up my butt like I'm better than y'all. I'm not. I bought donuts for everybody to get a foot in the door. And these guys and girls will come out of their way and say nice things to me. And I hope and pray that it's because I've been praying for favor. And one of the ladies came up today and she's like, you know, I saw your video and it was just so cute. And you remind me of this guy that I see on YouTube. And I'm like, really? That's a compliment right there. And she says, And I don't know how it's shifted. I don't know how the conversation shifted, but people open doors sometimes. And I said something to the effect, she opened the door, and I don't remember how it was, but the natural thing for me to say next was, well, I used to be a minister. Oh, she was talking about a lady. Okay, she's talking about a girl that was on YouTube and that she enjoyed that had a lot of tattoos, because we were talking about tattoos. And I said, I love Buzz Lightyear, and I showed her my Buzz Lightyear tattoo. And she said something about this lady on YouTube that found God and she didn't like her tattoos anymore. And she blacked out her whole arm. Rather than getting them removed, she blacked out her whole arm. And I'm like, well, I said, I'm a person that believes you can still be goth and Christian at the same time. And she says, you know, I am too. And I said, actually, I used to be a minister and I got my tattoo and I showed it again. And I said, I got my tattoo so that if I ever had to work at a church again, it would automatically be for a church that was cool with tattoos. And she says, well, that's interesting. Cause and she told me this story of her getting ejected from a church. So her and her family went to a small group and she met with them and they asked for her story. And, you know, her daughter was with them and her daughter's in a wheelchair. Her daughter shouts out sometimes and she's autistic. And sometimes she'll just randomly say bad words. So she might have Tourette's as well. But she talked and she almost teared up about how this group of church people came to her afterwards and says, you're probably not a good fit for this group. And I shouted, I said, oh, I put my hands up to my face and I'm like, can you imagine Jesus saying something like that? And she said, no, absolutely not. I said, how far have we gotten from where we were supposed to be with church? And she says, I know. She said, the only thing is I don't blame God. I blame those people. And I said, that is so good for you. But so many people don't do that. And they think of God as the problem and they move away from him. And it just breaks my heart that you had to go through that. And she's like, she said, well, how did you get out of ministry? I said, it was because the church hurt us. I became depressed and I couldn't do my job and I couldn't face the board. And so I quit and it took us 10 years to kind of get back into things. I said, and even now we only go to church about once or twice a month. She said, that's more than I go. I'm like, well, you know, anyway, so we had this whole full-on conversation about God and about our pain, and we shared our struggle together, which if you read in the early church, that's what they used to do. They got together and they talked about their sins and their struggles and their shortcomings, and they bonded over those things. So I don't know about you, but I had church up in work the other day, and it was partly because of those daggum videos. But the videos are because God has given me giftings and I'm trying to use them the best of my ability for where I'm planted. I'm trying to bloom where I planted. And I don't know. I don't know what the future holds, but I have this image in my brain of lunchtimes being Bible studies once a week. Because there's apparently a cafeteria, a room upstairs in one of the places. And some of the guys go there and eat. And I haven't ventured over there. I eat at my desk. And Bad James, right? You know, Bad James. But I didn't know about it. And now it's a hobby. I sit there and I check all my social media and I check my email and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know where things are going. But one of them might be me trying to pull together let's talk about God stuff kind of conversational thing that would be very informal and to the point that guys could still feel like they could sit there and eat their dinner, even if they're not, you know, eat their lunch, even if they're not a part of it kind of thing. And if we got to go out on the porch where the smokers are, much rather better, you know, because smokers can't make a rustle about it because they're outside. So maybe we'll go out there. I don't know, but stuff seems to be happening. And so, you know, God, give us all favor with the people around us. Help them to open the door so we can walk through invited, as invited guests. Because isn't that what we are scared of when we go to share the gospel? is we're afraid that it will be embarrassing. We're afraid, if you think about it even a little bit more, that it'll be embarrassing for them or put them out of, just in an uncomfortable situation, you know? And how much better is it when they open the door and you just are able to walk through and it's not awkward, it's not scary, and they are open for it. And I think God provides those for us if we're able to see it. Speaking of which, I today went to Cherokee Street, which is our artsy fartsy zone here in the inner city. And they had a print bazaar, which a lot of artists of different kinds and different flavors were out showing their art. And my goodness, I saw some art today. Oh my gosh, I wanted to buy everything I saw. But I went with and at the invitation of the guy I call Jay. He's the graphic designer there. And I've told you in the past that I wanted to become friends with him because he's the graphic designer. I'm a graphic designer. I didn't want him to think I was trying to take over his job. And he's the guy that offered to help me with my videos. So he's my friend. And he mentioned just randomly while I was heating up something in the microwave, he says, hey, do you hear about this print bazaar? I said, no, but I've actually been to it before. And he said, yeah, I was thinking about going, you know, this, that, and the other. And I went back to my desk and I sat down and I'm like, he brought that up for a reason. I'm so stupid, you know? And I went back and I texted him. I messaged him on our little messenger and I said, Jack, would you mind if I met you there? And he says, that would be fine. Yeah. And I said, where do you want to meet? And he texted me back. He says, let's meet at Cherokee and such. And I'm like, awesome. So I went I went back in there later and I could tell he felt awkward because I'd done it through text. And I just said, dude, I'm all thrilled about us meeting up. And he's like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I broke the ice, you know, and I can do that when I'm in a good mood, when I'm not freaking depressed, I can do that kind of stuff. So anyway, we ended up going and I walked there. Things said it was going to take 30 minutes and I don't walk through the hood very often, but I did. It took me 22. My pace must be greater than average, right? I walk on a treadmill a lot. So I got there in 22 minutes. I had to wait a bit, but all of a sudden I hear James. And I'm like, dude, and shook his hand and we went into the different stores and I started talking to the artists and just kind of getting inside their brain. Because I love talking to people that are creative. I mean, you guys know that podcast I kind of do once in a great while called I Like Genius. And so, you know, I saw a lady, for instance, that was just sitting there with a bunch of papers that had been printed on her printer, but she's folding them and putting them together. And I said, hi, how are you doing? Tell me about this. And dude, she did. She's used to own a bookstore and she's into inner city literacy and talks about the book desert that are in the inner city. And I told her about the kid that I helped learn to read. And, you know, we just had this whole conversation and I realized I'm doing my thing. I'm talking to these different people. I wasn't spending a lot of time talking to Jay. And so we got out of there and I'm like, sorry, dude. And he says, no, I was really enjoying, you know, hearing you talk to these guys and all that. So me and him chatted and we walked the streets and went inside these places and met these places. And I spent money. I couldn't help it. I told Jay at one point, I said, I'm done. I'm done spending money. I'm done. And then we run into this guy that did these woodcut arts, okay, where he's carving into linoleum and they roll ink over it and press it into paper. And his stuff was so good, y'all. It was so good. Oh my gosh. Maybe I'll put a link in the show notes to his website so you guys can go see what I saw because it looks so good. And he was giant. He was 7 foot. I mean, he's probably 6'2", but he was giant, a giant man with long hair. He looked like a modern day hipster Grizzly Adams. It was amazing. I was like, dude. And I kept coming by and I know he wanted me to spend money, but I couldn't afford any of his stuff. The stuff I wanted was like $50 plus. And he even did bookmarks, but I didn't want a bookmark. I wanted something to put on the wall, you know? So That was upsetting. I didn't spend money, but I bought some stuff for Jennifer for Christmas, and I bought myself a sticker, and I wanted to buy a sticker because the lady with the pamphlets, she had told me her story. I wanted to spend something, but the sticker was $2, and I didn't have, she took Cash App. I don't know how Cash App works, but I know you have to have money in your Cash App app. And I had no cash in my Cash app, and it wanted me to put my credit card in there. And I was like, I don't have time for this. Do I have any money? And all I had was a few 20s because my wife had given me haircut money. And I said, you know what? Can I give you just $20 instead? And I gave it to her, and she's like, here, take this and this and this. And she loaded me up with stuff. And I said, no, here, I'll take this and I'll take the sticker, and the rest of it you put toward literacy in the inner city. And she said, okay. And so I ended up with a Beyonce sticker, meme of Beyonce lifting her hands. Apparently it's a meme. And I put it on my water bottle, and and I bought myself a BioShock poster. So I was very cool with that, but don't tell anybody. I bought Jen a mug. It wasn't handcrafted, and I felt like a hypocrite because it says made in China on the bottom, but it's her color, and it has St. Louis on it. Okay. It has the outline of St. Louis on it. So very cool. She loves stuff like that. And I got her a tiny hand painted, oil painting. Like this lady, oh my gosh, this little Asian lady, she's young. So I didn't say little old Asian lady, but she was so cool to talk to. And she did this tiny little work. And I'm like, how tiny are your brushes? And she shows me, and they're not tiny at all. I'm like, how did you do this? And I started looking at her work, and I noticed she had these canvases, these little stretched canvases. And I'm like, how much is this? And she says, $10. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's beautiful. It's this picture of a painting of a factory in the early morning. You can see the haze in the air. Everything's kind of blurry, but there's so much detail behind it. I said, can I give you 20 for it? And she's like, yes. And I'm like, well, then yes, I will take one. And anyway, so it was like, that's when I told Jay, I'm like, dude, I can't spend any more money. I have spent $60 so far. And we've only been through two shops, you know, but it was really cool. I took a lot of business cards because I do have plans. There was a lady making rings, and I've been wanting another ring, and she sized me, and I placed an order with her, and it's not going to be ready before Christmas. Otherwise I think I'm going to tell Jen that it's her Christmas present for me. So she will not have to spend any money on me because I'm a hard guy to buy for. And I didn't know I was into rings until recently. And then when I saw hers, I was like, she carves them out of wax, and then she puts them in plaster, and then she pours the silver in there, and or metal or something. I don't know what they are. I don't know what it's made of, but I paid her in advance, and I'm not going to get it till after Christmas. So I'm good with both of those things. And I know what my middle finger on my right hand, I know the size is 12 and a half. So if you want to buy me a ring, I'm 12 and a half on my right hand, the middle finger. I told her it would enhance when I use that finger. I said, which I never do, but it was a joke. So it made fun sense. I said, I only use it in the mirror when I'm like, you stupid moron. So anyway, that was my jokes. Those are the jokes that you get when you talk to James. So let's finish up. All right. I got a little bit of time. Tonight's a date night, and I got to get through all this kind of stuff. I met with Jay. I talked about that. We got the tree up and all the lights were dead. So here's the thing. If you're going to put your tree in a bag for storage, which we bought a bag to put it in. It's made out of the same stuff that, what are those tarps, you know, that plastic that tarps are made out of, the ones that people try to put on their roofs and then they become all shredded over time. They're blue. Yeah. So don't get excited thinking we spent a bunch of money on like a Santa bag or something. No, it's a tarp bag that you put your tree in, and we put the lights in there thinking we were going to be cool. But by the time we got that thing downstairs packed away and then dragged back upstairs, I killed all the lights. They're all dead. So we had to order new ones. And it took a week for them to get here from Amazon, but they're stinking incandescent. They're not LEDs. LED bulbs are weird colors, and they're not as bright And I want my childhood, dadgummit. And incandescent, you say, what does that mean, James? It means it has a little filament inside that burns with a natural yellowish tint to all the colors. And that makes it better, makes it perfect. Because, you know, LEDs are can be very sterile. And you say, James, they have yellow lights too, but not when they're colored. They don't put the yellow in it. It's a bright, very sterile white doctor's office white, and it's not as good. And if you wave an LED Christmas light in front of your face, you can see it, that it blinks. It blinks. It does, because you'll see dots as you do it. But an incandescent is a solid color. Why does that matter? I don't know, but it bugs me. It bugs me that it blinks. So anyway, I walked every day the week before last. I was doing great, because I know that I said last time I didn't walk for a long time, but I did. I even walked on vacation, you know, on Thanksgiving. I walked out in the streets because they didn't have a treadmill. And so I walked in the cold. And then last week we get home, I didn't walk a single day. I didn't get up at 6 at all. I was a bad boy. And it was because it was so stinking cold. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to get up. And I'm gonna sleep in my warm-up clothes. I'm gonna sleep with my pants on and a long shirt on, a hoodie, and not a hoodie, but a sweatshirt. I'm gonna put my shoes by the bed. I still didn't get up. I am experiencing cold for the first time as a skinny person, and it is not fun. My wife laughs at me constantly. She thinks it's just grand that I don't have blubber to keep me warm. For the first time, you finally know what it's like to be me. I'm like, yeah, it's terrible. My bones get cold almost immediately. I mean, I'm cold right now. I'm sitting here at 5 or 6 o'clock at night in my basement, freezing my tail off because I had to go get on more clothes and my fingertips are cold. But I did walk twice today. I walked 22 minutes to the event, I walked all around the event, and then I walked all the way home. So that counts, right? Health update wise, the only one I have for you, the off scale success story, is that I was laying in bed and my wife peeked in to see if I was sleeping. She left and I'm like, what'd you come in for? And she said, oh, you're there. She couldn't even see me in the bed. Yeah, apparently she still got fat guy eyes too, because she was looking for a fat guy poking up out of the bed and she couldn't see me. So that was good. John and I set a date for Narthex Con Point 5 in Atlanta next year. I know I mentioned it last year or last episode, but I want to mention it again. June 8th at 4 p.m. 2025 in Atlanta. We still don't know the exact location yet, but we're working on that. And as soon as we do, we'll let you know. So if you're in the Atlanta area, go ahead and start penciling in June 18th, 4 p.m. 2025. I would love to meet you. I would love to see you and shake your hand and maybe hug your neck if you're into that. I'm not much of a hugger, but I hug my people. You know what I'm talking about? I love you guys so much. John's going to be out of town Thursday for the podcast, so I'm attempting to get a co-host. I'm hoping. I haven't asked him yet, but I don't want to tell you just in case he has to say no and all this kind of stuff. So anyway, I'm trying to get a co-host. If I can't, then I will put out a show of favorites. That's what I like to do, is I put together something and put it out. Following week after that, for that story show, is our bike theme. We've got a lot of stories still coming in for the bike theme. Plenty to share. It's going to be great. Depression-wise, I'm doing pretty good right now. I'm not on a super high, but I am higher than normal. I didn't feel like doing a video the other day, so I postponed it a day. I didn't stress myself out. I let myself not feel like doing a video, and you know what? It wasn't a big deal. Nobody cared. It was a little hard finding stuff to fill my day, but it still worked out, and I got it all done, so no big deal. Jen was very happy this week because she got some, I don't even want to tell you why, because some of you are Christians and you're going to judge it harshly, but that's okay. If you're a Christian that listens to me, you've gone through worse. But my wife works at Anheuser-Busch, and good luck finding and stalking her because it's a big company, and I don't mind telling you. My father worked at Anheuser-Busch, my stepfather worked at Anheuser-Busch, and now my wife works for Anheuser-Busch. She does something for them that has to do with taxes. I don't know. But she found out that they were going to be putting college logos on their Bud Light. You know, they're trying to recoup losses from what they did last year with Bud Light. And you got to say, it's pretty bad to put college logos on beer. Okay. Fundamentally wrong, I think, because a lot of the people that are go to college, yes, they drink, but should they? No. And are they of age? Most of them, no. But my daughter goes to Mizzou and my wife works at a beer company. And so she wanted to get a Mizzou beer and she was trying to go through some inner office pathways to get one. But long story short, she was at a grocery store the other day, saw a case of it and bought a case of beer. So we don't just have one can or one bottle. We have a whole case of it. So I don't know what we're going to do with it, but it does look cool. I will say it does look cool. Jenna came and visited us over the holiday. It was very good to have her, but she came early and then went and visited some friends and left her doggy with us. And so it was so good to hang out with Georgie because Georgie is the dog I love. I have a dog I don't like, a dog I hate, and then I have Georgie who's special. And I gotta buy Georgie a Christmas present. I realize that. I may not buy Jenna anything, but I'm gonna buy him or her. Sorry. Jay, on the other hand, couldn't get internet. He sleeps on the second floor. It's actually, I call it the third level because I spend most of my time down here in the basement. And that's where the internet sprouts from, is the basement level. And it's terrible to try to get internet to go up. It's the one direction it doesn't want to go is up. It likes to go down and out. So he barely got internet. He was frustrated. He couldn't get stuff installed. So we moved his whole desk and his whole computer setup down here. And so he's got the media room, which was my old office, as his office. We share a wall now, and he's been very respectful. He doesn't ask me to turn my stuff down, which is awesome. And he doesn't play his stuff loud, which is respectful. Like, I didn't even know that he even played it loud, but I came home today, and I peeked in to see if he was in there, because he games in the dark. I don't. I used to, but I don't anymore. I couldn't see if he was in there, and he turned his music down like right away. And it was just like, dude, I didn't even come in here to ask you to do that, but you did it, and that makes you awesome. So what am I watching, reading, playing, and doing? I'm reading Shift. I just finished Shift. It's the second book in the Silo series. Season 2 of Silo is coming out, and I think it's on Prime. It's a good series. They added a lot of stuff to the book. The book is good. The first book is called Wool, if you want to read it. The second book is called Shift. There's one more book to read, but I am starting the four books that are out for the Game of Thrones series. I am not one that's going to watch the show. I heard there's a lot of nudity and a lot of sexuality, but the books aren't that way. There's not any of that in there. It's not a Christian book by far. So there's, you know, innuendos and, you know, mentions of stuff, but it's not overly sexualized. It's just a fantasy set of novels. So I started reading / listening to those today. What am I watching? I have enjoyed Skeleton Crew. It is a live action show on Disney Plus. It's Star Wars, and it's about these kids that find a spaceship in their backyard. And it's really cool. It's a different side of Star Wars. I kind of liken it to take a little bit of Flight of the Navigator mixed with a little bit of The Goonies mixed with a whole lot of Star Wars. And it's not the greatest show in the world. I'm not saying it is, but it's 20-minute episodes, obviously targeting younger viewers. And it doesn't seem to have a lot of the Disney garbage that they've been throwing in lately. And that's really good. So I've enjoyed it and I've suggested it to a lot of people. They have a 2-episode season premiere that's out right now. And even if you hate it, you've only wasted 20 minutes. So check it out. It always ends on a cliffhanger. And I was just like, I want more. Why is it only 20 minutes long? So I started watching The Punisher on Disney Plus, and I realized that the show starts after he appeared in Daredevil. So I started watching Daredevil to get the story of him. And so I watched a lot of Daredevil. And then I went back to, and I saw some great fights and stuff. And then I wanted to watch Punisher. And I realized Punisher is more of a story, not a series of fights. And so I'm not as interested in it anymore. He was really good in Daredevil because he wasn't the main character. And every time you saw him, he was fighting. And I want to see fighting. I want to see Punisher punish people. But in Punisher, the series, they're telling a story about him. And there's a lot of drama mixed in with the fighting, and I just want the fights. So I don't know that I'll continue to watch The Punisher, and I don't feel like I wasted my time with Daredevil, but maybe I did. The Penguin is on, what is it? It's on Max, and it is based off a character, the Batman movie, and it's really good so far. So I don't know. I don't know if it might be a thing I watch. It's a mobster movie is or show is what it really is. It's a mobster show. I played a little bit of Star Wars Outlaws. It seems like it's going to be a great game. I'm just not in gaming mode right now. I'm in a TV and video watching or movie and TV video watching mode right now. What am I doing? I'm working on Christmas. We're getting Christmas ornaments hung. We're getting stuff done. I got to decorate the front yard and all that kind of stuff. Closing thought for today. I always like to have one. And I stole this one from my friend David. Imagine that I gave you homework. And the homework was to make a gratefulness journal. And you were to write down the things that you are grateful for. Just maybe one or two, maybe 10 things a day. You know, just take a few minutes every day and write down what you're grateful for. First day would be pretty easy. Second day would be easy. Third day, you might skip. Fourth day, you might pick it up and you might struggle a little bit. Well, what am I thankful for today? And, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, imagine at the end of that week, say it was a week, that I'm a magic dude and you hand it to me and everything that you didn't write down in that journal is taken away from you. Suddenly, you realize there's a whole lot to be thankful for. Because you didn't write down that you were thankful that you could breathe on your own. That you were thankful for air. You were thankful for soap and your unique fingerprints and your car. Maybe you did write that down. I don't know. Your hair. You know, the fact that you can see or the fact that you can afford glasses if you can't. So my closing thought is, as we're going through this time of thankfulness with Thanksgiving and Christmas, which I think should be about gratefulness, think about being grateful for the things that we take for granted. Because everything that is normal in your life, everything that is just something you never think about because it's not a problem, is a problem for someone else. Every time you get out of bed, somebody else is getting out of bed with help. You know, every time you drive your car, somebody else is having to get a ride because they don't have a car. Every time you breathe air, somebody else is on oxygen. There's, and if you're somebody in one of those situations, there's always somebody got it worse than you. So be thankful and be grateful. And no matter how dark it gets, keep thinking on those things. The Bible tells us to train our mind and think on those things. Guys, this episode was brought to you by our supporting listeners on Patreon with special thanks to Carrie Wright and Carrie Bernhardt. Join the community and become a supporting listener today at patreon.com/GOK. Let me know what you thought about this episode. Email me, james@nlcast.com. A couple of you have gotten to the point where you'll email me almost every episode and let me know what you thought. And I love that. That is such a blessing. So if you want to do it, you know, maybe I would get one every week if more people did it. It would be very awesome. For everything else, visit gokcast.com, and we'll see you guys next time. God bless. Bye.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.